You're tuning in to another episode of Wildlife Wonders Podcast. Sit back and relax, because today we're going to learn animal facts. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Wildlife Wonders Podcast. Woo! I'm your host, the one, the only, Sirianna. Welcome, and thank you for joining me today. I was supposed to have a microphone, but kind of got delayed, so here we are. Hopefully you can hear me clearly and it is loud enough. If not, turn your volume up a little bit because this is what we have. But we are going to do this episode a little different than the previous episodes. Typically, I would choose an animal of the week. I would I would do my research on the animal and then give y'all the facts about the animal. But this week, we're going to talk about one person, and that is me. I'm not going to go on and on about my life story, but I want y'all to get to know me, who I am. Some of y'all don't know who I am, what I do, why I made this podcast, and what I want this podcast to develop into, okay? So I'm going to give you a little bit of all that in hopefully entertaining somewhat way, but also just give me a little bit of my experiences and how life has been for me in the animal field and how I got into this. I'm not used to talking on camera. This will be my first video that I posted or have posted a visual for. I have recorded all my videos on my podcast so far. I just never posted a visual. So this will probably be the first visual I do post. I've been having technical difficulties with this. And the first video I tried, I don't know what's going on, the size, whatever. So we're going to try this again. This is my second run through of this. So hopefully everything will work out this time. But without further ado, let's get right into it. So I am the host of Wildlife Wonders Podcast. There's only one host. Right now, I'm the one running everything for it. My name is Sirianna. I'm 25 years old and I am currently a graduate student. I started this podcast because I wanted other people like us, but also any minorities and really anybody to enjoy animals as much as I do or learn about animals in a fun, interactive way. And the reason I say that, we can all read books, we can all search pages and pages and pages of facts about animals, but it's better usually if someone else tells you about it and cut out the work for you. Maybe get you more involved and tell you fun facts that you'll be more interested or you feel more excited to tell friends. Like, you could tell everybody where this animal's from and where that, but can you tell them if this animal has black skin underneath or this animal has 10 toes or whatever the case may be? I want to make it more exciting. I want to make it accessible to everybody of all skin types, of all backgrounds, of all cultures, to learn about animals and be excited about animals like I am. I feel like in the black community, but also in minorities, we're often taught to fear animals. And there's generational sides to that, but it's also just we don't know a lot about other animals, especially wildlife. We're not exposed to it. You'll meet a lot of minorities that are afraid of dogs, of cats, but it's just one, it costs to have animals for upkeep if you're taking care of them properly. Two is, again, exposure. We're not exposed to that. A lot of times when you do crazy stuff with animals, unfortunately, people will say that's white people-ish. And it's not. It's not. And I want to change that whole stigma around it. But also, I just want to do something I like. And I've always, do something I love. I've always loved animals. So I just want to share that joy for the animals and the facts with everyone else. So that's a little bit about me right now. I'm not going to go into everything about my personal life, but I am a graduate student. I think I said that before, but I want to incorporate animal-assisted therapy in the future because right now I'm in a clinical counseling program. But I want to incorporate that into the counseling field when I'm counseling with clients. Specifically, I want to work with children or people that have been through trauma. So involving animals and rabbits and snakes, and once I figure all that out, a lot of people do with horses, but involving all that into a therapeutic space so that people feel more comfortable to talk. They feel like they have something to help support them as they're going through their traumas or working on themselves or whatever the case may be. So that is what I hope to accomplish and I hope to achieve in my field when I get towards that level. But this is my final year, so. Anyway, I have a little notes here, my questions to say what I'm going over. So yeah, that's a little bit about me. Now, I already told you kind of why I wanted to start the, why I started the podcast, how we got here, and I'm excited for where we are and where we are going. Yeah, I just want to expose everybody to animals and more wild, fat animals than animals, dogs, cats, birds, stuff. Domesticated is cool. But everybody hears about those. You see those all the time. But you don't hear about cassowaries or the Goliath frog, excuse me, or the black and white hawk eagle. These are not everyday animals you hear about. And I want to expose more people to that. But my experience is I'm not trying. Overview. I've been a vet assistant. I've been a traveling vet tech. I have been the vet assistant was for dogs and cat in a spay and neuter clinic. We mostly did spay and neuters, but we also did a lot of other stuff. It was a regular clinic as well, so there's dentals on the other side, your checkups, your shots, your preventative care. We also did cyst removals, a couple of tumors, like things here and there. When I was leaving, we started to have x-ray machines, so we did stuff like that. For the traveling vet tech, I went all around North Carolina. Sometimes I also went to South Carolina. And basically did preventative care for dogs and cats as well in different counties, different cities. So that's what I did there. I have also worked at a sanctuary as an intern, and my experience there was amazing. I absolutely loved it. If it wasn't for the pay, because all y'all animal people out there probably know, when it comes to the animal field, a lot of stuff does not pay. Unfortunately, it's the sad truth. A lot of stuff doesn't pay. But specifically sanctuaries, rehabilitation centers, any of those things usually goes on volunteers or low pay. Every now and then you might have some that pay a little more. But when I was at Florida, I went to Florida State for my bachelor's degree. So when I was doing undergrad at Florida State, my final year, I volunteered at a sanctuary that was close to, I can't remember the name of the sanctuary right now, but it, I think it was St. Francis. It was close to the university. It was a rehabilitation center, and basically what a rehabilitation center does is it saves wildlife that has got around in the area that has gotten hurt or injured, or maybe the parent died and the babies are orphans. It takes it in, they care for them, build them back up, send them back out in the wild. So while I was there, and if you ever have the chance to do this or the experience or the exposure, or the opportunity to do something like this, take it. Because you either find out one or two things. You like the field or you don't. Or you'll just learn some cool facts in between. But while I was there, we worked with, I'm going to try to name all animals. Squirrels, rabbits, snakes, turtles, birds of all kinds. Birds of prey, which are your hawks, your eagles, your owls, your falcons, that kind of thing. And then you had your hummingbirds, your geese, your ducks, blue jays, there's some other birds out there. Also dealt with raccoon and fox, but as an intern, unless you had your rabies shots, you weren't dealing with the raccoons and the foxes and stuff like that that had a high chance of rabies. We also had possums, squirrels, rabbits, I'm sure there was other animals, but I cannot remember right now. Yeah, hold on. Sorry, I had to make sure it's recording still because we're not editing this. So you had all kind of animals. Now, while I was there, this was my first time working with birds of prey. So your hawks, your eagles, your owls. That was my first time working with those groups of animals. This was my first time in a, I guess, a professional space working with wild animals. Because prior to this, I had, growing up, I always loved animals. I've always been, it's not something that developed over time. It's always been there. From the time I was about 4 or 5, I stayed outside. I caught all kind of animals. I had a pet raccoon once that ended up having rabies later on. But nonetheless, we caught a raccoon and fed it hot dogs. Don't do that. It's not a suggested idea. But I lived in the South, but also I lived in the backyard. I had a huge woods behind me. Growing up, I had dogs, I had cats, I had hamsters, guinea pigs, I don't remember if we had a bird. I've had snakes as an adult. I have a bearded dragon now. He's sweet. His name is Roscoe. He is 4 years old, but I've had him for 3 years. I've had turtles. I've had all kind of animals. Some of them I found on the side of the street and kept. Other stuff we've had as a family. I have so many animal saving stories. Some of them not the smartest idea. I've almost gotten killed. But nonetheless, I've always been obsessed with animals. So rewind or fast forward back to the sanctuary. This was my first time in a professional space working with animals. During this time, the main responsibility, you come in and you could always, of course, wash dishes, wash clothes, husbandry and stuff like that. But your main thing, I love the turtles. So I spent a lot of time cleaning out turtles enclosures, preparing their meals, feeding them, giving them like their little bath time. I also spent a lot of times with birds of prey. So I fed hardest part because I hate feeding animals that died at the clinic to other animals. It's the way of life, but hey. I worked a lot with owls. The name is escaping my head of the type of owls. It's going to come back to me, but they're the smaller owls. I worked a lot with those owls. I worked a lot with hawks, and I think we had an eagle once or twice, but it was mostly hawks and a few falcons. No, it was mostly hawks. And there was another big bird. But worked a lot with them, feeding them, cleaning out enclosures. You learn to duck and dive real quick. When they swoop, do not look a hawk in the face or in the eyes. The same thing with owls. They might see it as a threat. Learned that early on. So I worked with a lot of those animals. I worked a lot with the baby possums. Fun fact while you're on here. If a mother possum gets hit, which I'm not encouraging anybody to do this. Most people wouldn't do this anyway. And sometimes after they get hit, they still have babies in their pouches. Even if they die, the babies in their pouches can live a little bit longer after they get hit. They still have it attached to the milk supply. So technically, if you're trying to save a baby possum and the mom's not fully dead or whatever the case may be, you can go in the pouch in a specific way. You pull them off the milk nipple, and then you can rehabilitate. But most people are not reaching in a roadkill's pockets. So yeah. But fun fact, so during that time there, I worked with that. Very exciting experience. Like I said, I would do it if you have the chance. Look up local sanctuaries in your area if you're interested. Rehabilitation centers and volunteer. You might find something you like. another thing I did, I worked in a research lab, which I'm not going to talk too much on that. But I worked with mice. I worked with ferrets and pigs in the research lab. I love the pigs in the research lab. But I worked in a research lab as well. If you have any questions when you go back and watch this video, you can always comment. You can always message me. Go on Wildlife Wonders Podcast on Instagram and message me. And I will try to ask any questions I have, give any advice you want to know about any of these positions. I interned at a zoo as an animal behaviorist educational intern at Philadelphia Zoo. They still do the internship program. You can look on their website. I'm not sure when it is, but I went there. It was an entire summer. And my role was to, they send us out at different stations at the zoo. And this is also why I know a lot of animal facts. You have to tell about that animal at that position. If you're at that position, you're either interacting with people to get them involved and learning about the animal. They're going to ask you questions. You have to tell about the animal, what's going on, anything you know. Yeah, if anybody has ever been to the Philadelphia Zoo, if you haven't, it is huge, but it is such a big zoo, you could be sent anywhere. But I spent a lot of time in the primate room because I was obsessed with primates. I'm still obsessed with primates. I thought I was going to be a primatologist. We might have to do a part two of this video. Yeah, I think we're going to do a part two of this video probably. So either way, I was assigned to the ape room a lot. I did a lot of more detailed research on the apes and the primates because that's where I spent a lot of my time. Also, because I was a behaviorist intern, I did a research project on cockerel she-fox. If you ever seen Zumumafu, that's what a cockerel she-fox is. Another name is jumping lemurs, I guess. But nonetheless, I did a research project on, I think, their mating behavior depending on their location and their environment and the time of day. Don't 100% remember, but that's what I did. Very interesting. They also interacted when I changed my hair, which I thought was another little side effect, but nonetheless. And then my biggest learning experience, when I was growing up, my biggest problem is I did not see a lot of representation of Black people working in the animal field. There were Black people in the animal field. There were minorities in the animal field, but I personally did not see it. I didn't really know any Black vets, Black behavior, animal behaviors, Black zoologists. I wanted to be a primatologist when I, as I learned later on. And I was like, I don't see no Black people in this field. I don't see any minorities in this field. I'm going to be the first, like, but for real, I'm going to be the first Black primatologist. I'm going to be the next Black Jane Goodall. It sounded good in theory, but yeah. So I think I'm going to do a part two of this video because I do want to go over my experience. I went to Costa Rica for about 4 or 5 weeks. When I was in graduate school, I did not see a lot of opportunities as not graduate school, undergrad. I did not see a lot of opportunities, like I said, Black people in the field of representation. In my head, I was going all the way to doctorate. I was going to get my PhD in primatology or in animal behavior or zoology. I was going to be that girl. That's all I could think about. That was my one track mind. That is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be the next zoologist, the next primatologist, whatever the case. I wanted to spend my lifetime or my career focusing on animals. Yeah, that life changes, reality hits. I went to Costa Rica, or I found a school that did a research program, a primate research program in the rainforest of Costa Rica. It was in La Suerte. I spent about four weeks there. I will do a part two to this because I feel like this is another story. But I spent about 4 or 5 weeks there. I received the Gilman Scholarship, which I'll do another part two as well, talking about the Gilman Scholarship. If anybody wants to get into stuff like that, Gilman and Fulbright, great, great scholarship. It's hard to get into. It's a lot of work to apply, but they're great scholarships. So that's what I did. I received the scholarship. I went to Costa Rica. Amazing, beautiful experience. I loved it. I hated it too for different reasons at some point, but I loved it. It taught me a lot. But I also learned after that wasn't for me. One, medical reasons. I knew long term I wouldn't be able to maintain working in research sites that are first world countries. You might not have outdoor, you won't have outdoor plumbing, or you have a certain amount of food, limited contact, limited social activity or social life. If you have a medical condition, you don't have access to all that stuff when you're in the rainforest or in the forests of Africa, wherever the case may be. So I knew long-term that wasn't going to be, I wouldn't be able to maintain that long-term. There was other reasons, which I'll talk about, like my experience in Costa Rica and my specific experiences at these jobs. I'll go into in another video. But I learned after that I wasn't going to be a primatologist. It was a harsh reality. Or let me put it like this. I wasn't going to study in new world monkeys in the rainforest. I said that was for me. I still have an open possibility of old world monkeys and apes in Africa, maybe in the future, or doing some kind of maybe research inside, but nonetheless, erase all that. I realized after that trip, it wasn't for me. Harsh reality, because then I was met with a lot of confusion, a lot of I don't knows, because that was my life plan. Also because I felt like I let myself down. I let other people down because I was like, oh, I don't see. I just proved a point why there's no minorities or a lack of minorities in the field, but no, it was a hard bump in the head after that. But I enjoyed my time there. I will definitely go more into another video of my process of applying Gilman Scholarship, how I got there, what it was like being there for the time, doing research, what it felt like coming back. But that's a little background on all my experiences. And I do want to end this video by saying there are minorities in the field. There weren't as many. There's more than there was before, because there weren't as many growing up. And I'm sad that I had to wait till I got to high school to see that people had applied at local farms. They had interned in local sanctuaries and rehabilitation centers. They had interned at places around the country. They had shadowed vets and stuff. None of that was available to me in high school. None of that was available to me in middle school. I didn't have those opportunities. I didn't have someone tell me, you know, you can shadow a local vet, or you have a program in school where you can do zoology. There are schools that do like animal science and zoology and pre-vet programs in high school. That wasn't available for me. But I learned that later on in life. So I am here to tell y'all, and hopefully tell other young people that are watching this, you can do it early in life. You do not have to wait till you're later on in life. There are minorities in this field. And if this is your interest, go full force. Throw your head and your whole body and hokey pokey in there. Because if it's for you, it's for you. If it's not, it's not. But you're only going to know by doing the experiences. So hopefully throughout this podcast, like I said, we'll do a part two of this, but hopefully throughout this podcast, you love to learn animals even more. If you didn't like animals before, hopefully now you're starting to like them and you grow with me, because this is all new for me, but grow with me as a podcast host and grow with me as a person. And as you're learning, I'm learning, we're all learning, and telling a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend about your animal experiences, or maybe other people that might be like I was and didn't know these opportunities exist, or getting more into this field and trying to learn more. Maybe you can tell other people that you might know that might be interested. Hey, like, there's a girl doing this podcast that's told by Animal Facts. Learn about some animal facts with her. She also maybe did this or did that. It's opportunities out there. There are black vet groups out there. There are minority, if whatever your background be or your culture, there are minority groups out there. There are minority vets. There are minority zoologists and vet assistants and animal behaviorists and researchers and this and that and third. They're out there. You just got to find them and be in the right place. But yeah, we're going to do a part two. If you want to hear more about my experience in Costa Rica studying howler monkeys, I studied mantled howler monkeys. There's capuchin and spider monkeys out there as well. But my research is on mantle howler monkeys. If you want to learn more about that, because we're going to slowly start going into the primate section anyway of this podcast. And I'm so, so, so excited. We're going to do a few episodes on different primates, the different primate groups. So I'm looking forward to it. And thank you for listening. If you are seeing this video, I'm getting closer because it's getting serious. Follow Wildlife Wonders podcast page on Instagram. Wildlife Wonders with an S podcast, all one word, on Instagram. Reach out, interact with the content. I will be posting more videos and pictures of every animal I talk about on there. And I look forward to hearing from y'all. I look forward to doing more episodes and, yeah, giving y'all the facts. Bye.